This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I got a stat that I think Mike Shildt would enjoy because it's positive about his San Diego Padres. And we know that the skipper loves a little positivity, doesn't he, Woods?
Sure does. Big positive guy.
You know, and you know, we all have our different perspectives on the team. But nationally, ESPN just came out with a new set of their power rankings in baseball. And Padres started the season in the teens and have slowly moved up. And this morning, they have jumped into the top 10 of baseball's power rankings for the first time this year. So someone out there at least has the perception that the Padres are a team heading in the correct direction and have been impressive and improving throughout the course of the season, moving up and up and up since the start of the year, when a lot of people expected the Padres to take a big step back after, you know, shedding as much payroll as they did and making changes. But they've done enough, and probably the acquisition of Luis Arraez helping a bit, that the national perceptive of the Padres is that, oh, if they're a top 10 team, they're definitely a playoff, you know, expected contender to make the postseason, since you get 12 playoff teams every year, and they are now a top 10 team in baseball, according to ESPN.
I do not care at all. Not in the slightest, as you know.
But that's positive. That's positive talk about your Padres, correct?
Yeah, I feel like anytime anything positive comes out about them nationally, they always soil the bed. So I'm good with lying in the weeds and being, you know, disrespected at 30-29. I don't know how much positivity you should have, and you just talked about context, and I think context is important. I mean, if you look at the context of our numbers, our record against good teams is better than it is versus our records against bad teams. So it's hard. It's hard for me to look at this team and go, oh, yeah, we got it figured out for sure. They remain confounding every single day, every time I watch them.
Yeah, the number one and two teams are the Phillies and the Yankees, and the Padres are 1-5 against those teams. But the rest of the top 10, yep, winning record against the Dodgers, winning record against the Brewers, winning record against the Braves. So, you know, they've done well against those other top teams in Major League Baseball. Again, doesn't matter. It's just one or a handful of people's opinions about the San Diego Padres, but it's just part of the story of where they are at this point in the season. All right, we've got Rent-A-Friend coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, Paulie's got some headlines today with our Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
By the way, I forgot, but I just wanted to wish Woods a very happy third anniversary to the first time he performed a wedding ceremony, or maybe it was the second time he performed a wedding ceremony. So, Woods, happy anniversary
to
you.
That was my first.
That was your first one
that I ever did.
Happy anniversary, Woods. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a big day.
Who was it again 3 years ago today? Well, you're
I'm not going to rain on his. I'm not going to rain on his parade.
Was it not today? I thought it was today.
It's today, but it was 4 years ago.
Four years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Happy anniversary to my my beloved. 4 years ago today, we were masked up and doing a COVID wedding on Zoom.
Are you sure? Time is flying. That's three, you know, right? It's four already.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, I don't know. You guys can relate to this. Like, I was talking to Megan last night. It's weird. Like, 4 years feels like, in the blink of an eye, it just went by so fast. But it also feels like it's been so long. It's just, it's weird how that works.
Yeah. Time both
happy
goes really fast,
leftovers.
Really slow.
Oh, yeah. Thank
happy,
you.
Happy anniversary to Paul and Megan as well, as Woods.
Thank you.
Have fun making sweet love in Vegas next week in the hot desert air. I hope you don't get cursed like I did.
I think they'll probably... You have an air-conditioned hotel room in Vegas this time?
Okay. Yeah.
Good for you.
We got
smart.
We upgraded. We'll be fine. We'll be
good,
fine.
Good.
All right. It's the Rhino Report. It's brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ball players age 6 through 12. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com for more information. We'll start off in basketball. There was it's weird. This feels like this should not be the biggest story in the NBA draft, but it is. It's a little bit of nepotism, but Bronny James, there was a deadline yesterday for him to decide whether or not he was going to stay in the draft or return to play college basketball. He has said that he is staying in the draft, and the draft is coming up in, what, 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that in June, later in June. And you're already going to start seeing the reports that, hey, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers are thinking about drafting Bronny at, you know, whatever they're at. You know, teams that are in the first round thinking maybe they can persuade LeBron to sign with them if they were to draft his son. Again, his son, nobody really knows. He could be a great player. He certainly got the DNA, but he averaged like 5 points a game last year. He's coming off he had the health scare with his heart. I mean,
his heart. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did not get off to a great start in his collegiate career, and that's totally okay. That's understandable. But typically, guys that are 6'4 and average 5 points a game aren't first round draft picks, but it's very possible that Bronny James could be drafted later next month.
I think what's interesting is that we've never really seen a scenario like this in any draft where a player who otherwise would not even be going out for the draft right now. If his name was you know, Joe Smith, and he played one season at USC and put up the numbers that he had, no one would know who he was. Other than maybe, oh, he's that kid that had the heart attack and came back. That's really cool. But everyone would say, yeah, but you got to come back and play a couple more years in college. But because he's Bronny, this is now a legitimate topic that's being discussed among teams. Should we take him because of both the DNA and the fact that it might lead LeBron to play for our team? I mean, I heard the Phoenix Suns, they have one first-round draft pick like this decade. And they're thinking about using it on... on Bronny James, just in case, maybe, which is weird.
It's pretty nuts, man.
J. Joe says Joe Smith did go number one in 1995.
That's true, he did. Golden State Warriors, right? I believe. I think you're right.
But, you know, it's like you see it in baseball. Like, guys, you don't want to necessarily say waste a draft pick, but the Padres drafted Johnny Manziel. You know?
Johnny Manziel!
Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. These guys get looked at and drafted sometimes in Major League Baseball because there's so many draft picks. You only have two rounds in the NBA. Not that, you know, really, it's the first round guys traditionally are the ones that make the impact. But then again, you know, Jokic went in the second round in the middle of a Taco Bell commercial when the draft was on TV, and he's the best player in the NBA. But yeah, the draft is coming up on June 26th, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens. If you're LeBron, I guess, you know,
I mean,
he's got nothing to
prove. It's intriguing when you've got that kind of DNA. Tony Gwynn Jr. was drafted in the second round of the draft by the Milwaukee Brewers. Same place Tony Gwynn Sr. was drafted by the San Diego Padres in the second round of the draft. You know, you got that intriguing DNA factor that I think is just makes teams sit up and pay a little more attention.
The DNA, and also maybe getting LeBron James and selling a buttload of jerseys and tickets
100%.
Does not hurt either.
We'll switch over to the NFL. I saw a really, this is a feel-good story here. So last year, Tyler Bass, he's the kicker for the Buffalo Bills. He missed a field goal attempt that would have tied their game against the Chiefs in the AFC divisional round. And you know how it is with athletes when they miss a big moment like that. Their DMs can just be filled with the worst of the worst.
The new Norwood, yeah. Obviously it's the Bills. That was a tough one, I remember.
Yeah, and so he deleted all of his social media after that missed kick. He was really down. And you know what? Credit to the Bills Mafia and other NFL fans because they rallied around him. This was mostly led by, of course, the Bills Mafia. But they donated. They raised over $400,000 in donations for his charity, which is the 10 Lives Club, which is an adoption center for kittens. He loves cats. He has a couple of cats. He said, look, everybody always does the dogs. He's like, I want to make sure the cats have a place. And so over $400,000, almost $500,000 was donated on behalf of NFL fans for him after he was just at his like maybe lowest point in his life. And I thought that was cool. And because of all that money, I got a little video here that we're going to play. And this is how they're going to use that money at the 10 Lives Club.
When all this happened after the football game, some people approached from the Bills Mafia and said, Tyler Bass has a relationship with 10 Lives Club, doesn't he? Didn't he do something with you guys? And all that week and the following week, over $400,000 came in donations to 10 Lives Club in honor of Tyler Bass, showing that bullying wasn't cool and that's not the way to go about things and that's not sportsmanlike to act like that. So today was one of the days we invited Tyler and his wife Ryan in, and we are planning on naming the building, the new addition, the Tyler Bass Adoption Center. And this new shelter will stand for years and years, be able to help the cats of Western New York and all the cats we take in from around the USA.
Truly grateful and just feel honored, you know, just because I have two cats of my own and I love them to death, and hard to put words to be honest with you. Hi. Okay, she got a lot of love left to give too. It's hard not to take one
home.
Look
at that. Love it.
This is why you do it right here. Think about it. They would put these cats down, you know? Sweet as candy. And little babies.
So yeah, the $400,000 raised, it'll now be named the Tyler Bass Adoption Center for the 10 Lives Club. I thought that was really, really cool.
Well, at least a good kicker story.
Is it weird my paradigm shift from dogs to cats now? Like, no. I'm straight up just cats. I just like cats better now.
What do you like better about cats compared to dogs?
You don't have to do stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. Self-sufficient, basically.
Yeah. It's true.
All right, I respect that. Laziness is really where you're going here.
Yeah. You know all those times you have to race home to walk your dog?
Yes. I have to do it all the time.
Never once.
If I'm late, they're going to be so mad at me. I got to do the walk.
Yeah.
Got to do everything. Got to feed them at the right times. If cats, just leave the food out. They just, whatever they want, whenever they want.
Yeah, you can leave town for like 3 days, and they're good.
You don't really need a cat sitter so much as a dog sitter.
To board them. It's like, it's unbelievable.
You're not wrong.
Man. It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Finally, I was looking for a third story here, and I was perusing the old prep service, and I saw a story. I thought, yeah, we'll roll with this. All the headline says is, are you a dad? Your kids might slowly be killing you. Now, I'm not a father.
Fair
you
enough.
Two are. And you guys are both the same age, although you're at very different stages of fatherhood. Ben has two much older children. Woods has two much younger children. So I'm reading here. And
by the way, that headline is totally false.
Is it?
That your kids are slowly killing you. They are quickly killing you.
Correct.
So researchers at Northwestern University found that fathers are at a higher risk for heart attacks and poor cardiovascular health in general, and they believe it is because of the added stress and responsibility that comes with being a parent. It affords for less time for healthier activities like exercising, eating right, and all that. All your energy is focused on your children. Now, it says here, if your dad was young when you were born, you've done even more damage. So Ben is actually, I would have thought Woods would be the one that he's in his mid to late 40s. He's got two young children. Yeah. You're like, this is not going to end well. But it's actually maybe Ben.
It's kind of true. I mean, my boys are so good. They're, for the most part, responsible. They don't get in any trouble. I can't ask for better kids. But as a parent, you spend at least part of every single day worrying about something to do with your kids, right? I mean, like, every single day there's that worry, like, whether it's a immediate worry when they're younger, like they're gonna hurt themselves, or if they get older, then you just worry about their lives and, you know, are you doing the right thing as a parent? I mean, that is a constant, like, stress that I think every parent has to deal with, if you're a good parent at least.
Yeah, being cursed with anxiety as I have been, and in laying in bed at night and worrying about something that might happen 15 years from now with both of my kids is like, it's, I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But, you know, I was not ready when I was Ben's age. You know, when Ben had his kids, I wasn't ready at that age. There's no way I would have been the worst parent of all time. And while my kids kick my ass on a daily basis, I feel like I made the really smart decision not to do it earlier because I wasn't ready. I mean, I was not going to be a good parent the way that I behaved in my 20s and 30s. I was a really selfish person, and I don't think I am now, you know, and that helps tremendously. But no, they're killing me. There's no question. They absolutely murder me on a daily basis.
And that was a special Pauly anniversary edition of the Rindle Report. Thank you, Pauly. We'll come back. We got a 4-pack of tickets to the San Diego Fair to give away. And then the moment you've been waiting for, you didn't know you were for, but you are. We get to meet Rent-A-Friend live and, well, in person over Zoom, at least, coming up at the bottom of the hour.
A trip.
Though, check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a couple of injury updates on the San Diego Padres, this one via the UT, but Xander Bogaerts did get the second opinion on his shoulder, and nothing new to report. Doesn't need surgery, just needs time to let the fracture heal, which means his recovery is just what they kind of expected in the beginning, 2 to 3 months before he's going to be able to return. So I don't want to necessarily characterize that as good news, just not not bad news. It's the news that you were hoping for, but he remains out for at least the next couple of months, and hopefully he'll be able to return to the Padres sometime later in the summer, maybe in August or, you know, at the latest, hopefully early September, to help the Padres down the stretch run. Yu Darvish was supposed to get some more tests. He was not available after the game yesterday to talk to reporters. Mike Schilt did talk about Woods, the hamstring tightness that was bothering him and led him to, you know, take him out of the game. Multiple reasons, he said. You know, the taxing innings that he had thrown, the fact that he wasn't that effective, and that he was feeling that hamstring in the third inning all contributed to the decision to take him out after 66 pitches and put Stephen Kolek in. What was not answered, though, and I am curious about, is this a problem that was also bothering him against the Yankees? Because you certainly went from top of the mountain, 25 straight scoreless innings, throwing as well as really any stretch as he has with the Padres or in his career, to all of a sudden two real clunkers back to back against the Yankees and who did they play yesterday? The Marlins. Yeah. You know, and
that's
while
your
that
round table host, everybody.
Yeah, while that happens in baseball sometimes, and pitching in particular, kind of an injury that didn't allow him to, you know, go through his mechanics the way he likes to would certainly explain a lot toward why you so quickly drop from top of his game to, you know, pretty much bottom of the game, Yu Darvish, over the last two starts.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I'm not in his body. I have no idea. You're a tight hamstring guy.
Oh, right? I mean, you have no idea how tight my hamstrings are.
I mean, it's staggering how tight your hamstrings
it is.
Are. So you can imagine, imagine if you loosened those up a little bit, the kind of game you would have on the golf course. Honestly.
Incredible. I've tried, Incredible. Bill. I mean, I've tried some stretching, and I don't know how I can do to loosen up those hamstrings.
You got to stretch, buddy. Did you see the update out of New York City and the New York Mets, Ben?
On Jorge Lopez?
Yes,
what,
man.
No. What's the latest? We talked about him in Don't Do This. The guy thrown out of the game, relief pitcher, tossed his glove into the crowd, said basically he played for the worst effing team in baseball and was DFA'd by the New York Mets.
Yeah, I'm the worst effing teammate on the worst team in baseball. Please clarify. No, that's what I meant to say. You know, had a really rough day yesterday. Boomer Esiason, I just saw this come across. I don't have the audio, but it says Boomer Esiason expresses remorse for now former Mets relief pitcher Jorge Lopez after learning his son is dealing with a serious health issue and awaiting a transplant. And my God, man, I tweeted, you know, we really do forget they're human beings sometimes. Prayers up for his little boy. I wouldn't be able to come in and do this job. You know, I really don't know that I could do it. If one of my little guys was awaiting transplant, you know, come in and go, well, I don't know what's wrong with Manny. Maybe he'll get it together. And is it a roller coaster? Is it not? I just, you know, to go out and have to pitch under those circumstances is gnarly. I mean, that's gnarly for anybody. So I hope he's okay.
Basically, he's pitched pretty well this year, had a frustrating day, got ejected, tossed a soft glove into the stands, which we both agreed is not a big deal.
Not the end of the world.
Said
actually
something
kinda cool.
Pretty honest about a very, very badly struggling Mets team. And the Mets just cut him, even though he's been going through all of this with like no, like, hey, man, we understand. Maybe, you know, can we put you on like the 7-day, you know, mental health break list or something to help you out? Yeah. Now it's the Mets who really look like the villains in this whole scenario.
It's crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. Yeah, I had not heard that. And just, I guess, a gentle reminder that everybody is fighting their own battle. And we never really know what's going on behind the scenes.
He didn't commit a crime.
I feel bad for him. No, exactly.
He didn't hurt anybody.
No, didn't hurt anybody.
I'm just very confused by this whole situation, actually.
I mean, you know, the scapegoating of him is something that we talked about earlier. I said, you know, and actually they're probably doing him a favor to get him out of there. And maybe now he can spend that time with his child and while he finds a new job. But very, very tough. Very tough story. Hopefully he's okay and gets the transplant that he needs. Awful.
A couple other notes. This weekend is a big one for local college baseball. We don't talk a ton of local college baseball, but Point Loma Nazarene's going to the Division II College World Series starting Saturday in North Carolina, and USD is into the NCAA tournament. They will play tomorrow against Oregon in the Santa Barbara Regional, and in honor of that, tomorrow morning we're going to have Coach Brock Ungerich join the show to talk a little bit about his team getting ready for a big game. This team, I mean, they've been playing incredible baseball. Woods, the Toreros, I think they went 20-4 in their conference and have really been beating up on opponents, sweeping a ton of series. Seems like this is, if ever it was going to happen, this might be the team with a shot to make it to the College World Series. So have my fingers crossed, and hopefully we can get Coach Ungerich off to a good start. They have some really talented players on that team. Jacob Christian, the WCC Player of the Year, two-way star that they've got with one of their best pitchers and hitters. Really good team, and I'm excited for them and seeing what they can do with this opportunity in the NCAA tournament coming up.
Yeah, we talked to Brock a while back. Great, great interview. Great dude. So obviously going to be pulling hard for them.
Now, I pronounced his name wrong when we had him on. I think I said Ungerich.
It was one of my favorite moments, and his uncle called in.
Yeah.
Remember that?
To correct me.
Yeah.
Because it's,
do we still have that,
Paulie? I'm kind of spun out now because I believe he said, no, it's Ungerich, not Ungerich, even though there's a T at the end. T is silent at the end. We got a voicemail from, his uncle. Correcting me, which I appreciated that, and I felt bad.
Did you get it?
I got it wrong.
Did you get it at work, or did we get it from Ben and Woods?
I think we got it at Channel 10. I think it was Ben and Woods. But
no, I thought it was our Ben and Woods account.
Yeah.
We have to find that.
And honestly, we haven't had him on since because I've been afraid to make the mistake again. But we're going to go ahead and take the chance to bring Coach Ungerich back on the show tomorrow. And risk another pronunciation error. And I may be getting it wrong again because now I've got it all spun out in my head that I'm doing it wrong.
Well, you figure that out. Let's go to break because everyone is demanding.
All right.
Rent a friend. I've got him Zoom.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I texted him. I said, hey, I got you. It all sounds good. And his response was hot diggity.
I'm excited
hot
about
it.
There it is. All right. We will come back. We played the audio for you last week. We will now meet the man behind the Rent a Friend video. Our final segment of Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, there are good things and bad things about the internet, Woods. One of the good things, though, is that everything old can become new again. And if you haven't seen it before, it's new to you. And we're constantly inundated with just magical treasures and surprises that we didn't know existed because there wasn't an internet back in the 1980s. And one of those was the Rent-A-Friend video that you found that we talked about last week. It was just a VHS tape that you could rent and pop into your machine and spend some time with a friend if you didn't happen to have a couple already. And when we come back from traffic, we'll be joined by the man behind the video. Sam in the video will be with us next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Do you mind if I take a look around your place a little bit? Well, thanks. Great. Let me see something. Just want to check it out a little bit here. Oh, boy. Nice place. Wow. Hey, did you do that up there? Is that yours?
And joining us right now is my friend and yours and everybody else who owned a VCR in the 1980s. We are joined right now by quote-unquote Sam, who also happens to be actor Ben Hollis, joining us right now with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Can't believe we found you. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm great. It's a joy to be here, I'll tell you. Get this attention.
I wanted some of this
in 1987.
I watched this. It came across a Twitter aggregator, and it was like historical videos. And so I clicked on it. I watched it. Then I went in and did a deep dive Ben, and I just fell in love with the entire process. The one question I have to ask you right off the shoot, how many of these do you figure you sold, and how did this idea come to you?
Oh, boy. Hey, first off, on the tech thing, I got an echo in my headphones. Can I take them off?
Oh, no.
Sure.
No.
Yes.
I mean,
as long as you can hear us, you can do whatever you want.
All right. This might be a little messy overlap with the...
We can hear you.
You sound great,
though. Know what you need to do, Ben, is if you're on your browser, you need to go to the top to the tab and right-click and mute it.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's usually there, but it's... Oh, there it is!
There it is.
Watch out. This is going to be amazing.
You don't disappoint, sir. I will say that.
No,
just right
not.
Off the bat. He does not disappoint, does he?
No.
Sounding better there? No, now he's muted and we can't hear him, Paulie. Great great advice. Now we can't hear. Now we can't hear him.
This is going exactly how I thought it would.
All right, go back and unmute if you can hear us.
Ben, you got to unmute yourself on
Zoom.
Yeah,
yeah, because we can't hear you now.
Oh, there we go. We got you.
We got you.
This is magic.
Take two.
Okay. So you guys zeroed right in on the big question. How many did you sell?
The big question. How many did you sell?
100? I don't know. 20? I don't know. But get this. It got picked up. I knew a guy at the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, Bob Green, possibly the most popular columnist in the city. And I showed him Rent a Friend, the video, and he wanted to write about it, which meant his column would go in the Sunday Tribune, which meant it would get picked up by AP, Associate Press, a big wire service back in the old days, which meant it would be in papers all over the English-speaking world. And it just exploded. So that was like millions and millions of dollars of PR. Sales?
It was such a completely random idea, and what inspired you? What inspired you to do that? And I got to ask too, man.
Sure.
Some of the stories you told, the nose grease, the noise you used to make with your sister. I was laughing so hard. It was such great. It was such great material. And I was wondering, is he talking out of his rear end, or did this stuff really happen to him?
Yeah, all that was real.
I'll
tell you the story, but it just right to this. I was given the opportunity to come up with something that would fit the bill for something called Rent-A-Friend. Okay, sure. What do I do? Well, I was an improv guy, and I was into comedy and entertaining and stuff in real, local, small scale levels. But I saw, here's an opportunity to take all the stuff from my own life, my own family, and lay it out there. Because I've been amusing people with my stories for years. So it's all true, basically. It's true. I've got nose grease as we speak.
I do too, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think everybody does.
Yeah, probably fair.
So
yeah.
I was working for an outfit that was in the business of creating. They wanted to start a new thing to create video for businesses that would have a business interest. But at the end of the year, they had a little bit of extra money, and they thought, how can we use this money to create something modest that could show how really out of the box we are creatively? And I've been studying videos in the marketplace. Back then, there was a video for everything. Everybody had a video, very niche. Anything you were interested in, there was a video. And it just struck me. I don't know. I thought it was divinely inspired, I guess. Like, what about a video of a guy just being your friend? We could call it Rent-A-Friend. And it went, boom, that's it. So I told it to the boss at lunch. We had a big hearty laugh. And when the laughter died down, I said, I'm serious. I can do this. So they said, okay, well, we got a few $1,000. Let's try it out. So we did it.
So, Ben, it sounds as though, correct me if I'm wrong, you weren't able to immediately retire on the profits made by the sales of the video. So what other work have you been doing to keep, you know, keep going over the years?
Well, okay, get a load of this. I never thought of this before this way. Rent a friend, it could be the best friend I ever had. And here's why. That company that I was working for folded in early 1988. And I immediately thought, okay, I can go back to showbiz. I can move to LA and I can try to get a job in advertising and the corporate kind of world, but navigate over to showbiz. And every time I went on a job interview, I showed them stuff I wrote for ad copy, you know. And then I showed people Rent-A-Friend. And they always said, this is amazing. You should have your own show. So another guy said to me, you got to meet this fella in Chicago. And I thought, okay, I'll be back there to get some R&R. And I met this guy, John Davies, at Channel 11, the PBS station there, and showed him Rent-A-Friend. And he said, basically, this is amazing and it's weird. I don't know what to do with it, but you're good on camera. How about you and me collaborate and create a new show and you could be the host? And that led to a very popular show in the Chicago area called Wild Chicago. And I had a career in TV, you know, locally.
Yeah, and you won 8 Emmys along the way,
yeah.
Is that right? That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I can't tell you how much joy it brought us and our audience. And hey, listen, for anybody, you know, you can maybe sit back and lament, well, I didn't quite make it in show business. I'm telling you, man, 40 years later, something that you did resonating with an audience like ours and with us as hosts, I would say that's pretty much mission accomplished, man. It was so good.
I want a transcript of this program. You're saying
that
great
can be arranged.
Stuff.
No, know, that can be arranged. It was fascinating.
You're so right, you guys. And that's why I really, truly am so grateful that guys like you have grasped onto this. The guys at a thing called Found Footage Festival latched onto this. They put it into their show, and it's being presented to people all over the world. It's totally nuts. So, and maybe it's helping people.
I'm telling you, it was brilliant. It brought me so much joy last week, and it has ever since. Talking to Ben Hollis, who is the creator and actor, I guess you would say, of Rent-A-Friend, 1986 VHS. I think that when you look, like when I hear myself on commercials when I'm driving around in the car, I have to turn the channel. What is your reaction sitting down watching Rent-A-Friend now, this many years later?
Great question. It's been an evolutionary process. At the very first, I was totally raptured by watching Rent-A-Friend. And then over the years, I started to feel a little like there's something a little off about this. I don't know. This guy's trying too hard. You know, it was just kind of weird.
I've been there. Yeah.
And then now today, there's like, a release of the grip of it on my consciousness. I almost feel like I'm watching a different guy. And so, and I can look at this guy in a loving way and forgiving way and go, this is really good.
I need to learn that function of that process of listening to something that maybe we've done and going, all right, dude, I forgive you for that, because I'm telling you, man, it is such a if you look at it as performance art, which I kind of did, I looked at it and said, this could be one of the most brilliant pieces of performance art that I've ever seen in my entire life. And you went out there and did 43 minutes, and I don't think that that's any small feat at all.
Thank you. It was hilarious. I wish I could find the VHS tape of me practicing this at home.
Oh, God, that is gold.
The outtakes. Oh, that's a whole nother.
But really, it's like the greatest monologue
category.
In history.
Oh, to go on for 43 minutes without stopping, it's incredible. Now, I have to ask you, Ben, did you have anything to do with or have you seen the 2020 movie Rent-A-Pal starring Will Wheaton, which kind of takes this idea and turns it into kind of a thriller, kind of horror type movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have connected with the filmmaker, and there have been some conversations, and I actually can't talk about it.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's
currently like apparently something that we'll find out more later after everything's settled in court or something, perhaps. Well,
I'm reading the
lock him
the
up.
Reaction.
Lock him up.
I'm reading the reaction here, Ben, and everyone is saying you guys need to have this guy on again. And I definitely think that that's something we need to do on a more frequent basis. Are you a sports fan? Chicago sports fan?
Yeah, very much so.
All right, good. We will call you when we need to talk Cubs. Are you Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs,
okay. When we need our Cubs correspondent, would you answer the bell for us and we can shoot the breeze about baseball and football and everything else?
Yes, I would have to say you'd probably have to keep basketball and hockey out of the picture. I'm still ensconced in the 70s or 80s.
You are talking to the right show, my friend.
Okay, good.
You are talking to the right show. Yeah.
Well, Ben, it was a pleasure to meet you in person, and we thank you very much for your time. And, Paulie, you can start writing down everything we wrote so we can send him that transcript of our Paulie conversation. Expect that in like a couple of years because it's going to take us that long to get it all done, Ben.
Paulie, okay, send him a shirt, ASAP. We're going to send you a shirt and some stickers and stuff, too.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You are amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
There he is, Ben Hollis. Sam,
the great,
from Rent-A-Friend.
The great Ben Hollis. I loved him, man. What a nice dude.
Yeah, he has a really good attitude. And I think you're
great
right.
Great attitude.
You know, performance art, just 44 minutes of going. You can't really make a real connection with someone over a one-sided videotape conversation. I don't think he was actually making any friends, but he certainly had something going there in that entire tape.
What a nice guy. He reminds me of like a nice, friendly dad. You know what I mean? Like, just
he was so positive.
So positive, the tape. I love that he said, yeah, it messed with me for a while. And then I had to go back and watch it and learn to forgive myself for it. Because again, you watch it and you know, of course we lampooned it as, oh my God, this is really, truly amazingly creepy. But when you hear the backstory behind it, man, it's so brilliantly done. I challenge anybody to come up with something better than that for 43 minutes. Literally, anybody on the planet.
Well, Woods, normally this is the time of the week where you're taking your shirt off and putting on your polo, but since you're not going to be on the round table, I guess you can just keep your clothes on, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning
Enjoy
at
yourself.
6 a.m.
Yeah. Love you.
Paulie, thank you very much as well. You'll get more of me coming up in about 5 minutes for our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable. Do not go anywhere. We'll be back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. You know, there are good things and bad things about the internet, Woods. One of the good things, though, is that everything old can become new again. And if you haven't seen it before, it's new to you. And we're constantly inundated with just magical treasures and surprises that we didn't know existed because there wasn't an internet back in the 1980s. And one of those was the Rent-A-Friend video that you found that we talked about last week. It was just a VHS tape that you could rent and pop into your machine and spend some time with a friend if you didn't happen to have a couple already. And when we come back from traffic, we'll be joined by the man behind the video, Sam in the video, will be with us next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Do you mind if I take a look around your place a little bit? Well, thanks. Great. Let me see something. Just want to check it out a little bit here. Oh, boy. Nice place. Wow. Hey, did you do that up there? Is that yours?
And joining us right now is my friend and yours and everybody else who owned a VCR in the 1980s. We are joined right now by quote-unquote Sam, who also happens to be actor Ben Hollis, joining us right now with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Can't believe we found you. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm great. It's a joy to be here, I'll tell you. Get this attention.
It's what?
I wanted some of this in 1987.
I watched this. It came across a Twitter aggregator, and it was like historical videos. And so I clicked on it. I watched it. Then I went in and did a deep dive, Ben, and I just fell in love with the entire process. The one question I have to ask you right off the shoot, how many of these do you figure you sold, and how did this idea come to you?
Oh, boy. Hey, first off, on a tech thing, I got an echo in my headphones. Can I take them off?
Oh, no.
Sure.
No.
Yes.
I mean,
as long as you can hear us, you can do whatever you want.
All right. This might be a little messy overlap with the...
We can hear you.
You sound great.
You know what you need to do, Ben, is if you're on your browser, you need to go to the top, to the tab, and right-click and mute it.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's usually there, but it's... Oh, there it is!
There it is.
Watch out. This is going to be amazing.
You don't disappoint, sir. I will say that.
No,
just right
not.
Off the bat. He does not disappoint, does he?
No.
Sounding better there? No, now he's muted and we can't hear him, Paulie. Great great advice. Now we can't hear. Now we can't hear him.
This is going exactly how I thought it would.
All right, go back and unmute if you can hear us.
Ben, you got to unmute yourself on
Zoom.
Yeah,
because we can't hear you now.
Oh, there we go. We got you.
We got you.
This is magic.
Take two.
So you guys zeroed right in on the big question. How many did you sell?
The big question. How many did you sell?
100? I don't know. 20? I don't know. But get this. It got picked up. I knew a guy at the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, Bob Green, possibly the most popular columnist in the city. And I showed him Rent-A-Friend, the video, and he wanted to write about it, which meant his column would go in the Sunday Tribune, which meant it would get picked up by AP, Associate Press, a big wire service back in the old days, which meant it would be in papers all over the English-speaking world. And it just exploded. So that was like millions and millions of dollars of PR. Sales?
It was such a completely random idea. And what inspired you? What inspired you to do that? And I got to ask too, man.
Sure.
Some of the stories you told, the nose grease, the noise you used to make with your sister, I was laughing so hard. It was such great. Material. And I was wondering, is he talking out of his rear end, or did this stuff really happen to him?
Yeah. Oh, that was real.
I'll
tell you the story, but just right to this, I was given the opportunity to come up with something that would fit the bill for something called Rent-A-Friend. Okay, sure. What do I do? Well, I was an improv guy, and I was into comedy and entertaining and stuff in real, you know, local, small scale levels. But I saw, here's an opportunity to take all the stuff from my own life, my own family, and lay it out there. Because I've been amusing people with my stories for years. So it's all true, basically. It's true. I've got nose grease as we speak.
I do too, actually.
Yeah.
So, I think everybody does.
Yeah, probably fair.
So
yeah.
I was working for an outfit that was in the business of creating. They wanted to start a new thing to create video for businesses that would have a business interest. But at the end of the year, they had a little bit of extra money, and they thought, how can we use this money to create something modest that could show how really out of the box we are creatively? And I've been studying videos in the marketplace. Back then, there was a video for everything. Everybody had a video. Very niche. Anything you were interested in, there was a video. And it just struck me. I don't know. I thought it was divinely inspired, I guess. Like, what about a video of a guy just being your friend? We could call it Rent-A-Friend. And it went, boom, that's it. So I told it to the boss at lunch. We had a big hearty laugh. And when the laughter died down, I said, I'm serious. I can do this. So they said, okay, well, we got a few thousand bucks. Let's try it out. So We did it.
So, Ben, it sounds as though, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you weren't able to immediately retire on the profits made by the sales of the video. So what other work have you been doing to keep, you know, keep going over the years?
Well, okay, get a load of this. I never thought of this before this way. Rent-A-Friend could be the best friend I ever had. And here's why. That company that I was working for folded in early 1988. And I immediately thought, okay, I can go back to showbiz. I can move to LA and I can try to get a job in advertising and the corporate kind of world, but navigate over to showbiz. And every time I went on a job interview, I showed them stuff I wrote for ad copy, you know. And then I showed people Rent-A-Friend. And they always said, this is amazing. You should have your own show. So another guy said to me, you got to meet this fella in Chicago. And I thought, okay, I'll be back there to get some R&R. And I met this guy, John Davies, at Channel 11, the PBS station there, and showed him Rent-A-Friend. And he said, basically, this is amazing and it's weird. I don't know what to do with it, but you're good on camera. How about you and me collaborate and create a new show and you could be the host? And that led to a very popular show in the Chicago area called Wild Chicago. And I had a career in TV, you know, locally.
Yeah, and you won 8 Emmys along the way,
yeah.
Is that right? That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I can't tell you how much joy it brought us and our audience. And hey, listen, for anybody, you know, you can maybe sit back and lament, well, I didn't quite make it in show business. I'm telling you, man, 40 years later, something that you did resonating with an audience like ours and with us as hosts, I would say that's pretty much mission accomplished, man. It was so good.
I want a transcript of this program. You're saying great stuff.
Arranged. That can be arranged. It was fascinating.
You're so right, you guys. And that's why I really truly am so grateful that guys like you have grasped onto this. The guys at a thing called Found Footage Festival latched onto this. They put it into their show and it's being presented to people all over the world. It's totally nuts. So, and maybe it's helping people.
I'm telling you, it was brilliant. It brought me so much joy last week, and it has ever since. Talking to Ben Hollis, who is the creator and actor, I guess you would say, of Rent-A-Friend, 1986 VHS. I think that when you look, like when I hear myself on commercials when I'm driving around in the car, I have to turn the channel. What is your reaction sitting down watching Rent-A-Friend now, this many years later?
Great question. It's been an evolutionary process. At the very first, I was totally raptured by watching Rent-A-Friend. And then over the years, I started to feel a little like there's something a little off about this. I don't know. This guy's trying too hard. You know, it was just kind of weird.
I've been there, yeah.
And now today, there's like a release of the grip of it on my consciousness. I almost feel like I'm watching a different guy. And I can look at this guy in a loving way and forgiving way and go, this is really good.
I need to learn that function of that process of listening to something that maybe we've done and going, all right, dude, I forgive you for that, because I'm telling you, man, it is such a if you look at it as performance art, which I kind of did, I looked at it and said, this could be one of the most brilliant pieces of performance art that I've ever seen in my entire life. And you went out there and did 43 minutes, and I don't think that that's any small feat at all.
Thank you. It was hilarious. I wish I could find the VHS tape of me practicing this at home.
Oh, God, that is gold.
The outtakes. Oh, that's a whole nother.
But really, it's like the greatest monologue
category.
In history.
Oh, to go on for 43 minutes without stopping, it's incredible. Now, I have to ask you, Ben, did you have anything to do with or have you seen the 2020 movie Rent-A-Pal starring Will Wheaton, which kind of takes this idea and turns it into kind of a thriller, kind of horror type movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have connected with the filmmaker, and there have been some conversations, and I actually can't talk about it.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Currently, like apparently something that we'll find out more later after everything's settled in court or something, perhaps. Oh, so.
I'm reading the
lock him
the
up. Lock him up.
I'm reading the reaction here, Ben, and everyone is saying you guys need to have this guy on again. And I definitely think that that's something we need to do on a more frequent basis. Are you a sports fan? Chicago sports fan?
Yeah, very much so.
All right, good. We will call you when we need to talk Cubs. Are you Cubs or White Sox?
Cubs.
Cubs, okay. When we need our Cubs correspondent, would you answer the bell for us and we can shoot the breeze about baseball and football and everything else?
Yes, I would have to say you'd probably have to keep basketball and hockey out of the picture. I'm still ensconced in the 70s or 80s.
You are talking to the right show, my friend.
Okay, good.
You are talking to the right show. Yeah.
Well, Ben, it was a pleasure to meet you in person, and we thank you very much for your time. And, Paulie, you can start writing down everything we wrote so we can send him that transcript of our conversation. Expect that in like a couple of years because it's going to take us that long to get it all done, Ben.
Paulie, send him a shirt, ASAP. We're going to send you a shirt and some stickers and stuff, too.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You are amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
There he is, Ben Hollis. Sam,
the great,
from Rent-A-Friend.
The great Ben Hollis. I loved him, man. What a nice dude.
Yeah, has a really good attitude. And I think you're
great
right.
Great attitude.
You know, performance art, just 44 minutes of going. You can't really make a real connection with someone over a one-sided videotape conversation. I don't think he was actually making any friends, but he certainly had something going there in that entire tape.
What a nice guy. He reminds me of like a nice, friendly dad. You know what I mean? Like, just
he was so positive.
So positive, the tape. I love that he said, yeah, it messed with me for a while. And then I had to go back and watch it and learn to forgive myself for it. Because again, you watch it and you know, of course we lampooned it as, oh my God, this is really, truly, amazingly creepy. But when you hear the backstory behind it, man, it's so brilliantly done. I challenge anybody to come up with something better than that for 43 minutes. Literally, anybody on the planet.
Well, normally this is the time of the week where you're taking your shirt off and putting on your polo, but since you're not going to be on the round table, I guess you can just keep your clothes on, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Love you.
Paulie, thank you very much as well. You'll get more of me coming up in about 5 minutes for our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable. Do not go anywhere. We'll be back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.